Are you guys ready to receive the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. If you remember last week, we were looking at those dry, those desert, those wilderness times and seasons that we have in life. Nobody likes to be in those dry, wilderness, desert seasons of life. But as we saw with the Israelites, remember, we saw with the Israelites that the path to the promised land is through the wilderness. Now, we like to bypass the desert altogether. We want to go right from Egypt into the promised land. But as we saw last week, the desert does. It is a time, it can be for us, a time of emergence for us in Christ. In Jesus, we come out of the desert in those desert seasons. We come out of that desert season stronger. We come out of it with greater spiritual understanding. And we come out of that desert season better able to operate, understand, and operate in His authority and in His power. We come out in Jesus. We come out of that desert season, in that wilderness time. We come out of it looking more like the men and women that Jesus created us to be. I said this last week, and I've said this numerous times in my life. Every bad thing that I've had to go through in my life, every bad thing, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, every bad thing that I've ever had to go through, I come through it, I am delivered, and I say thank you, Jesus, because it's an experience that I would not trade for anything. Because I learn and I become more of the man of God by going through those experiences. That's where I get to see the nature of God. That's where I get to see the nature of Jesus Christ and His faithfulness to His words. Don't despise the days of the desert. Don't despise those days. We also saw that in Jesus' life. Jesus actually sought the desert. Because there in the desert, Jesus could withdraw from the world. There He could hear the voice of His Father. In the desert, Jesus was refreshed. And in the desert, Jesus was prepared for what lay ahead of Him. When we walk through the desert with Jesus, we are prepared for what lies ahead of us. Don't despise those days. In Jesus Christ, you will come out victorious, you'll come out stronger, you'll come out a more reflective, looking more like the creation that Jesus made you to be. And you will have the opportunity to operate in His authority. And when you operate in His authority and you see those victories, you never, ever forget those victories that you see at those times. We also saw the promise that God gave to those who seek Him during those desert times. And we saw that the promise God gave is He takes those deserts of ours and He turns them into gardens. And not just any gardens, He turns them into gardens of Eden in our lives. And that takes us from the world and it brings us into His promised land. And if we are willing to receive it, it takes us into the place of His rest. His rest. And that's where I want to pick things up this morning. Finding that we can go through the desert, and because we are delivered in Jesus Christ, we have His rest. We have His rest. Jesus, we thank You and praise You. Because I do know that there are those of us who are going through struggles, difficult times, and sometimes it does feel dry, and sometimes it does feel like the wilderness, but I lift up every single person. And I thank You that You have already delivered them. I thank You that they already have Your victory. And I thank You that they can be praising You as they're walking through. They can praise You right on to the victory, into the place of rest that You have given them. We thank You and praise You in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Life in this fallen world, it is going to have wilderness times. It is going to have some desert seasons. But never forget who you are in Jesus. Never forget who you are in Jesus. In Jesus. And as a new creation in Jesus, you've already received His deliverance. You've received His deliverance, and you have received His rest, regardless of what? Regardless of whatever desert might be presenting itself around you today. You've already got His deliverance. It's already yours. He's already established it. Listen to what Moses said as he was speaking to the Israelites while they were still in the wilderness, when they were still in the desert. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. For as yet, you've not come to the rest and of the inheritance. Now, that's under the old covenant. They had not come under the rest. We have the rest in Jesus Christ. But Moses was saying to them in the desert, you've not come to the rest, the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. But when you cross over the Jordan and you dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all of your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safety. Those are some great old covenant promises. But we have better promises, better new covenant promises in Jesus. We have already inherited all of the promises. We've inherited everything that Jesus has already established for us. And we've already crossed over our Jordan River. We crossed over our Jordan when we crossed over from death to life in Jesus Christ. We've crossed over that river already. We dwell in his safety. We've crossed over that river. We have promises that are better than any of the promises that the Israelites of the Old Testament, they couldn't even imagine the promises that you and I have. That's how superior our promises are to the promises that they had. Israel saw just only a foreshadow of his rest. Only a foreshadow of his rest when they entered into the promised land. Just a foreshadow. But by accepting the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, we have inherited all of his promises. And all of his promises, that is his place of rest. Rest means completion of all of his victories. Rest indicates it is the place where all of his victories are done and established. We've already inherited those things. We've already come there. We are delivered, and we have rest in him regardless of whatever desert storms are blowing and swirling around you. We're already delivered. Enter into his rest. The word rest means to dwell with the Lord. It also means to dwell in his promise to preserve his believers. If you're ever going through a desert, going through a wilderness time, it's comforting to know that he has given us a promise to preserve you because you're one of his own. It also means this. It means to cease from laboring in the trials of this life because we've put our trust in him. We don't have to labor anymore. And it is in that intimate knowing, that personal knowing of Jesus. It is in that intimate, personal knowing of Jesus that we find rest, and we find rest even in the desert, even in the wilderness that you might feel is rising up around you. You know, my mom was, a couple of years ago, was talking to Donna and I can't remember if I told you the story or not. If I did, just pretend that's new and fresh. But my mom was telling me just a couple of years ago, she was talking about the divorce that my mom and dad had when I was like 13 years old. And it was hard. It really took a toll on me. I was just telling Caleb about it this past week. It did take an effect on me. And so 40-some years later, Donna and I are sitting with my mom, and she's talking about the divorce, and she's looking just wearied. And you can tell that she's broken in her heart, and she's apologizing to me because she said, you know, of all three kids, the divorce affected you the most. And I said, you're right. It did. I know it did. And she said, and I still feel bad about that. And I said, Mom, why would you feel bad about that 47 years or 40 whatever years later? Why would you feel bad about that? She said, well, because I know the effect it had on you. I said, Mom, look at your son before you. Are you proud of who your son became? Are you happy with this man of God that is before you? Because part of what makes me who I am today was I went through those trials. I went through that desert. Yeah, it wasn't fun, but I went through it, and it helped make me who I am today. That's why I say don't despise the days in the desert. Listen, I know they're not fun when you're going through them, but if you can look beyond it and know that every time in Jesus, you will be delivered, and you will come out stronger, you will come out with greater spiritual understanding, and you will come out better able to apply the authority that you have in Jesus, because that's when we apply his authority. That's when we use the power and the authority that he's given us. Don't despise those days in the desert. When you see those desert times and the signs of the desert rising up in your life, when you see sickness, when there's financial troubles, when you're experiencing depression, addictions, losses of any kind, whatever those signs of the desert look like in your life, when those things start to rise up, listen, stop struggling to get out. You've already been delivered in Jesus. If you believe that, then if I believe that, I can stop laboring in my own strength and I can just rest in his promises. That's a whole lot easier with whatever you might be facing or whatever might come up in your life. Listen to these verses. This is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it. I should be afraid to distrust his promises. That's pretty strong wording. Lest any of you should think that he has come too late. Doesn't matter what the past is. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday, last month, last year. Doesn't matter. You've not come too late to his rest. Lest you think you've come too late or come short of reaching it. For indeed, we have had the glad tidings, gospel of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning on the entire personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and did believe. That's an awful lot in those two verses. But it tells us where we should be living. We should be living as new covenant believers in his rest. And again, there's a lot. We could do a whole couple of Sundays just talking about his rest. But as an overview, his rest is that place. If you look at it, if you read through all of Hebrews chapter 4, you're going to see that the author of Hebrews actually talks about rest. And when he's talking about rest, he draws the comparison of God after the week of creation. And he's talking about that kind of rest. That rest, when God was finished with creation, that was a rest of completion. It signifies completion. His rest represents the completion of everything that Jesus has provided for us. If we believe that, we can have his rest. We can be in peace no matter what it is. No matter what the enemy tries to bring in your life, we can be at peace in his rest, at peace. Because we have already been given every promise. It's already been established for us in Jesus Christ. It benefits us when we, like Joshua and Caleb, it benefits us when we mix his word with faith and enter into his rest. His rest is for you. Listen to this. His rest is for you. He's already said today. His rest is for you today. And his rest is for you regardless of what you see going on around you. And if the things of the world, if the things of this life are contrary to the promises of his word, you still have his rest. It still is for you. Remember what we saw last week, and I want this to be a point of emphasis for us. Satan lied to Jesus in the desert. Satan lies to you in the desert as well. When you see things in the desert, in that desert season, that are contrary to the promises of his word, that is Satan lying to you. And he's lying to you for the purpose of trying to bring lack of hope, distrust, doubt into your heart. But remember, his rest is for today. Don't distrust his rest. Operate, live in his rest. It's where he wants us to be. When the world's economy starts to go south, you don't need to worry about it because you're not in bondage to the world's economy. When the doctor tells you there is no cure, nothing for you to fear because you're not bound by that doctor's words. When your emotions tell you to be depressed, you can reject that because you're not subject to your emotions. We are delivered in Jesus Christ. We're delivered. So enter into his rest. We just saw the verses that talked about Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb entered into the old covenant rest. And we can even learn from that. We have a much better covenant, but we can still learn from that. Look at how Caleb, I want you to see how Caleb mixed the word of God with faith. So this is Joshua chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. This is Caleb saying this. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. He's saying that he is as strong this day 40 years later as he was the day that he was one of the 12 that Moses sent in to spy out the land. I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard it in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. Caleb was 85 years old when he spoke that. Caleb was 85 years old when Joshua blessed him to go possess the promised inheritance that was his. And we read later, not that far later, we read that Caleb did just that. He drove the Anakim from the land. From his land. Who are the Anakim? Yeah, they're the descendants of the giants. They are literally the giants in the land. And Caleb drove them from the land. Caleb did this. He believed, he mixed the word with faith, and he drove the enemy from the land. Caleb was strengthened by the word of God. Think about this. There's only two that came out of Egypt that made it all the way in, Joshua and Caleb. Caleb was strengthened in the desert, in the wilderness. Caleb was strengthened by the word of God. Strengthened by the word so that he was prepared to possess the inherited promise that was his. So when the day came to enter into the promised land, Caleb was able to mix the word of God with faith and possess what was his and to drive the enemy from the land. We saw later in those verses, if we're going a little bit further, it says at the end of that, after Caleb had driven the Anakim, it says that a little bit later, then the land had rest from peace. Under the new covenant in Jesus Christ, in his blood, Jesus has already defeated the enemy. He's already defeated Satan. All we have to do is enforce the enemy's defeat. We enforce the enemy's defeat. In other words, we drive the enemy from the land. We drive the enemy from our lives the same way. We mix the word of God with faith, and we enter into his rest. We're going to see in a little bit, you know, what the Holy Spirit just shared through Donna at the beginning of this. We're going to see in just a few minutes the importance of speaking and how speaking plays a role in the desert. It's really awesome to see. I'll show you in a few minutes, the word desert actually even means, in part, to speak. It's fabulous. There are so many good things. I know that it's easy to despise the desert, but never forget who you are in Jesus Christ. You are delivered. You've already got the victory in Jesus Christ. Well, the prophet Hosea, he also speaks to us about the desert times. I want us to look at two verses. This is Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And again, you're going to see it in the Amplified Bible. Hosea 2, 14 and 15. Therefore, behold. Behold always means see it in the spiritual realm. See it from a spiritual perspective. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, Israel, and bring her into the wilderness. And I will speak tenderly into her heart. There I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor troubling to be for her a door of hope and expectation. And she shall sing there and respond as in the days of her youth and as at the time when she came up out of the land of Egypt. There's so many things. We could spend so much time there, but here's the important things I want you to see. First of all, remember this. Hosea is speaking to a disobedient and sinful people that God is actually leading into the desert that their hearts might turn back to God because God wants to bless them. It's different for us. As new covenant believers, Jesus is not leading us into the desert, all right? So it's different for us. However, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In these verses, we can see Jesus' heart concerning the desert. And we can take that and apply that to our situations today. In that 14th verse, we see the word allure. So the word allure, we understand that that means to entice, right? But here's the great thing. It also means this. In this context, in this verse, it means this. It means to bring to a place of enlargement. That's pretty good, but it gets better. It also means to fill with good things. So it means to bring to a place of enlargement where you can handle and hold. It is preparing us to receive good things. Under the old covenant, God enticed Israel into the desert so that they might turn their hearts to God so that he might be able to bless them. But under the new covenant, we are already delivered in Jesus. We're not bound by the desert storms that the enemy might try to rise up into your world. We're not bound by those things. We are delivered in Jesus Christ. And so when he says allure here, we're in that place of enlargement. We're in that place where Jesus is ready and wanting to fill you with good things. If you see the conditions of the desert rising up around you, enter into his rest. Because he wants to fill you with good things. Enter into his rest. Because what the enemy has intended for evil, he is going to turn around and make good things for you. Verse 15. Again, we're learning the heart of Jesus concerning the desert. Verse 15, we saw, I'm going to read to you again. There I will give her her vineyard and make the valley of Achor troubling to be for her a door of hope and expectation. And she shall sing there and respond as in the days of her youth and as at the time when she came up from the land of Egypt. Look at the old covenant promise here, but look at the old covenant promise through the eyes of a new covenant believer. Even in the desert, Jesus is preparing vineyards for you. Even in the desert, he's preparing vineyards. Vineyards are symbolic of the good things that God has for his people. Even in the desert, Jesus is preparing good things to fill you with. Desert also means this. It means gardens. So here again, we see, just as we saw last week, here again, we see that God takes our desert times, our desert seasons, and he turns them into gardens, gardens for our blessing. Jesus takes the desert, that which the enemy has intended to be a valley of trouble in your life, and he turns that valley of trouble. What are you facing? What is it in your life that the enemy is trying to make a valley of trouble? Jesus, if you can enter into his rest, if you will receive that, Jesus is turning that valley of trouble into a door of hope and expectation, an opportunity for blessing. It changes the way that we see whatever you might be going through. If there's a dry season you're going through, it should change your perspective on it because this gives us the perspective of Jesus. His heart towards those desert seasons. And his heart for those desert seasons is to bless you. Look at it as a door of opportunity. rather than feeling confined, look at it as a door of hope, expectation, and an opportunity for blessing. Because that you belonging to Jesus Christ, that is exactly what it is. Which is why I said earlier, never forget who you are in Jesus. Never forget, because you've already been delivered. We don't have to struggle. We've already been delivered. So what should be the response? What should our response be in the desert? What should our response be in the desert as those who have already entered into his promised rest? What should our response be? Think about that. What is our response? Because we've entered into his rest. His rest, which is the place where all the work is done and where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in complete victory. Victory, by the way, which you have already inherited. What should our response be? According to verse 15, the response of the new covenant believer should be singing. In the desert, there should be singing. And here's what the word singing means. This word, it's not talking about, oh, I'm just singing along the songs that I hear on the radio. I'm just casually singing along. That's not what this word singing means. No, no, no. This is much different. This singing is a singing that is such a joyful praise that by definition, it is a howl. In other words, picture emptying yourself, pouring yourself out. It also means this. I love this. When you come in next Sunday for praise and worship, here's the attitude you should have. This word for singing, it means a riotous, uncontrolled, crying out in his victory. Think about this. In his rest, your spirit wants to sing. In the desert, you might not feel like it, but your spirit, he's in you. Your soul might say something different. But in his rest, your spirit wants to sing. Sing in the desert. Sing. Sing with riotous, uncontrolled songs and sounds of deliverance. Just imagine. Think about the testimony that is to the world. And think about the testimony that is to the body of Christ as well. Because I guarantee you, there's other people in the body of Christ who are going through desert seasons and going through wildernesses of their own. And if they see you in the desert, and you're sitting there in the desert, and you're singing riotous, uncontrolled fashion and manner, what is that going to say to them? Listen, if you're going through a desert time right now, I guarantee you there are believers who are watching. When you went through the last desert, how did you handle it? What was your reaction? If you could have taken the opportunity, and if you will take the opportunity, to sing riotous, uncontrolled cries of victory, it is going to impact. Listen, there's a large portion of the body of Christ that needs to believe that this word is true and that his promises, he is true to every one of his promises. They need to believe that. They want to believe it. But there's been so many things that have convinced them otherwise. When they see you and me sitting and singing like that in the desert, listen, they are coming to you and they are coming to the Jesus they see in you, and they've got some questions for you because they want that singing also. Because they might have suppressed it, but the Holy Spirit is in their spirit. So that kind of joy is already in them. When you sing in the desert, that gives them the freedom to bring that joy that is in their spirit already to the surface. Think of the liberty that brings to them. Amen? Singing. Will you give me a moment for a sidebar? We'll get back to the message in a second. But just talking about singing. I don't know why this came up, this is for someone here this morning. It's a sidebar. But people have told me in the past that sometimes they go through times where they have a hard time speaking in tongues. They've done it before, but it's a struggle. Let me just tell you, if you ever struggle, if you go through a dry season, it just feels like you're just going through the motions, and the enemy convinces you that you're not really speaking in tongues, that it's just you. Here's what you do. Start singing. You find a song. I find one of the songs that we sang this morning. Find a song that you can just, that you know, and you know well. Start singing it. Start singing it with that riotous, uncontrolled, riotous, uncontrolled, crying out. Empty yourself out. And all of a sudden you're going to find that some of those words, the lyrics, you can just easily give yourself over to the words, the sounds that are coming from the Spirit. So have you ever struggled? Singing. Singing's a great way. It's an easy way. Okay, end of sidebar. There's a Hebrew word that is a parallel word to the Greek word that we were looking at last week for desert or wilderness. When we were looking at the word in the New Testament when Jesus was in the desert, there is a Hebrew word that is equivalent. Now, we've seen that Hebrew word several times, but I'm going to look at it one more time because I want you to see it in this. When we see it here, it's really revealing when we see it in Exodus chapter 3. And I think it's verse number 1. I can't remember. It's Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And this is when Moses was in the desert. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look to God, that's important. Look, I highlighted it in orange. That's important. Okay, remember that. So when the Lord said, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look to God, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Okay, first of all, the word desert in verse number 1, it does mean desert and wilderness, just like the word that we saw from the Greek last week. It means that same thing. But this is what I was referring to earlier. In that context, it also means speech. Specifically, it means to speak. And inclusive in that definition is this, and it's very important in the definition. It includes the organs of speech, your mouth, your tongue, your lips, your vocal cords, your lungs, the organs of your speech. If you remember last week, we saw that in the desert, Jesus speaks to you. In the desert, Jesus is speaking to you. And we are to take those words that he speaks. What is the word? It's seed. We're to take those words that he speaks, and we're to plant those seeds, because those seeds are going to be our harvest. How do we plant those seeds? We plant them by speaking them. In the desert, Jesus is speaking to you so that you can speak in the desert and so that you can speak to the desert as well. Use the organs that he has created in you. He created them in you, not in any other life form on this planet. He created in you. Use the organs. Use your speech and speak to the situation. Speak in faith. Listen, we saw the example of Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land. And they did so because they took the word of God, they mixed the word of God with faith, and they spoke the word of God. They entered into the promised land. Now, when we've been looking at the word rest that we saw in Hebrews, that's spoken of in Hebrews, again, it refers to the completed work of Jesus Christ. So when you and I, when we believe and we mix his word with faith and we speak that word, we enter into his completed works. We enter into his rest. Now, picture again that moment with Moses in the desert. What we just read there, and that's why I highlighted that one verse. When God appeared to Moses in the bush, in the desert, when God appeared to Moses, Moses' response was to look deliberately to what this was. When Moses turned from the desert to look to God, in other words, when Moses took his eyes off of the desert and he looked to God, that is when God speaks. God appeared to Moses, but God didn't speak to Moses until Moses looked away from the desert and put his focus. When he looked to God, God speaks. And when Moses turned from the desert and looked to God, God not only speaks, God draws Moses unto himself, calling Moses by name. That's the beauty of what God does for us. In the desert, Jesus reveals himself to you. If we will turn from the desert and look to Jesus, we will clearly hear him speaking to us. And he calls you by name. It's personal. And he draws you into his rest. When you're in the desert, if you will look away from the desert and look to Jesus, you'll be able to hear him calling you by name. I've been there. I've heard him call me by name. I've heard him call the name Todd. The first time I heard it, I thought, who else is in this building? I thought I was alone. I was in college. I was the only one that was in this entire room, and I heard my name. Who is this? And so I laid there, and I heard my name again. And I knew the second time, I knew that it was God speaking to me personally. In the desert, he will call you by name. It's personal. He wants to remind you. He wants to remind you that he's prepared vineyards for you. He wants to remind you that he's already delivered you from the desert. It has nothing to do with your strength. Stop struggling. Just let him walk you into the victory and into deliverance. I want you to see just a couple more verses. Going back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to read from the Amplified Bible. We're going to look at verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Seeing then the promise remains. Seeing then that the promise remains over from past times. For some to enter that rest. And that those who formerly were given the good news about it and the opportunity failed to appropriate it. Appropriate it. It's yours. Remember who you are in Jesus Christ. Lay hold of what he's given us. Lost my place. Failed to appropriate it. And did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he sets a definite day, a new today, and gives another opportunity of securing that rest. Saying through David, and if you read Psalm 95, you're going to see exactly what David said about this. We don't have time today. But saying through David, after so long a time, in the words already quoted, today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. Listen, in the desert, you're going to hear his voice. You're going to hear him calling you by name. Don't close off your ears and don't close off your heart. Listen. Today. This mention of rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan. For if Joshua had given them rest, he, God, would not speak afterward of another day. So then there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the true people of God. Israel entered into the promised land. But that was not the rest that God was speaking about. God's rest that he's speaking about is the completed works in Jesus Christ. Completed works that, by the way, his victories that you've already inherited as his believers. Don't be discouraged in the desert. Don't be discouraged. You have already been delivered in Jesus Christ. So just move forward. Enter into that place of rest that he has reserved for you. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This, I thought, would be a good time, a good day for us to have communion. So I'm going to share communion. Now we're going to do it the way we always do it. We're going to do it the same way. I'm going to pray over it. I want to share one other thought with you. And then I'm going to invite you guys to come up. Just everybody come up. Take a piece of bread. Take a cup. Sit down. Don't partake until everybody has been served, and then we'll all partake together. But what I want us to remember as we partake in this. So on that night, we've seen this so many times, but it's such an awesome image. Jesus is with his disciples, and he's talking about his word. He is the word. He is the bread of life. And he's talking about the blood that he was going to shed for us. And Jesus took the bread, and in their presence, he broke it, and he gave thanks. Listen, when you're in the desert, we need to have that thankful heart. Be thankful because you have already been delivered. Doesn't matter what it looks like, you've already been delivered. Jesus broke the bread and gave thanks. Jesus we thank you for every promise, every word, every promise that we can stand on steadfastly. We want to be able to, every day of our life, it doesn't matter what comes, because to us, every day is going to be the same in this. It's going to be victorious. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the natural circumstances say. Every day, we want to be able to sing with riotous, uncontrolled, crying out in your victory. We want to be able to sing those things. So we say thank you. Thank you for your body broken for us. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your blood shed that we could have right relationship with the Father once again. And thank you for this, your body, your word, your bread. It is your word, and we eat it. We consume every one of your promises, and we apply them to our lives. And we thank you and praise you for it. In your name, Jesus. Here's the last thing I want you to see. When you read that story in both Matthew and Mark, in Matthew chapter 26, I think it's verse number 30, it says that after Jesus did all that, it says that the disciples sang a hymn. And then they went to the Mount of Olives. Singing. Singing is such a vital part. Listen, if you're in a dry season, in a desert season, singing is one of those great, great expressions of your faith in this promise, in his promises, in his deliverance. So in your heart, you can sing if you want out loud, but certainly, whatever you're facing today, let's thank him in our hearts. Let's sing his praises in our hearts. You can do it while you're, if you want to wait till we're singing the song of praise, boy, belt out that song of praise that we close with. Belt it out with riotous, uncontrolled cries of victory. Amen? Let's partake.